With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ruleur Magazine Tech Podcast. I am your host, Dan Cavallari. Usually, I'm joining you from my garage in Colorado, but today I am not. Today, I am on the road, and I am happy to be here, actually, because today I just got done with the tour of the facility I am in, and it's overwhelming. It is quite a cool place. I am in Ogden, Utah, at NV Composites headquarters and manufacturing facility. Just got the tour of the whole place, and now because I'm a spoiled tech editor guy, now I am talking to Kevin Nelson, who is the chief engineer here at NV Composites. Kevin, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's so rare that I actually have my podcast guest right across the table from me. Usually it's virtually these days, but it's nice to see you in person.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, well, thanks for sitting down with me. So, Kevin, the reason I'm talking to you, of course, is NV recently launched the Melee, which is its second road bike, basically. And the first was the Custom Road, which we're going to talk about. And the Melee, it looks beautiful. It's a cool bike. And I want to talk a little bit about what it is, why it is, and how the Custom Road touched that off and led to the development of the Melee. But first, I think we need to start with a little rewind, because I actually have a human person in front of me for a change. Let's talk about that human person. Tell me about, just really briefly, your history at NV, how you landed here, where you were before, and what you've been doing since.
Okay, so I've been in the bike industry since 1997. Mm-hmm. I worked for GT in Santa Ana, and then when they closed the doors on me, I went up to Specialized for a while, and then after a bit, I was at Reynolds, where I met Jason, or the guy who ended up founding NV. And so I've been kind of part of NV since the beginnings. Mm-hmm. And since then, kind of worked on sort of everything that we've been doing in one form or another. Mm-hmm. Initially doing design work for frame parts for other companies, forks, handlebars, stems, that kind of thing. But since then, kind of branched out into the wheel stuff, and then the frame stuff, which kind of goes back to my sort of origins in the bike industry anyway. So
as sort of the mastermind of many products in the bike world, can you share with us some products that the audience might know about that you've worked on?
At GT, I was working on pretty much anything that didn't have a rear suspension on it there for a while. I did the road bike line while I was there, and a lot of BMX bikes. Mm-hmm. When I went to Specialized, I was the engineer on the first version of the Tarmac, the first Roubaix, and the first women's line was kind of my baby, and then some of the components and stuff there. Since then, kind of wanted to get back to companies that were doing more domestic manufacturing, and really felt like I feel like when you do manufacturing overseas, you know, like the relationship with your factory becomes really critical to your ability to achieve your design goals. And the best way to do that is just to like circumvent that and have your manufacturing, you know,
right here,
yeah. which is really what NV is all about, yeah. Is like just kind of cutting out the middleman and really designing the finished product, and then mm-hmm. you know, and then figuring out how to make it. And
yeah.
As an engineer, as a designer, as a guy with ADHD, like that's a lot more satisfying to be able to, you know, like really, yeah. really get to understand all that stuff mm-hmm. firsthand. You know, I mean, yeah.
So, you know, for those of you who are listening, you can't see where we're sitting, but we're in an office. But right out the window behind Kevin is the facility floor where the rims are hanging before they get built into wheels. And, you know, this is where the carbon gets cut. It's all right here. And earlier, Jake Pantone gave me the walkthrough here, and he walked me through a couple rooms where they're making the frames, the custom road frames.
Yeah.
And tell me, so that seems to be where the story starts. Before we can talk about the melee, we have to talk about the custom road. How did the custom road come about? What went into the design of it? And how did that lead into the melee?
Yeah, so I mean, it's really the custom road is really near and dear to my heart. It's really kind of a full circle thing for me. Going, you know, back to my days at GT and even kind of before that. Designing bikes, we made, you know, because we were manufacturing at GT, you know, we manufactured custom bikes for almost all of our athletes at the time. So I was, you know, helping, I'm not a welder, but helping people build bikes for the tour team, helping build bikes for you know, Jamie Bestwick and Allison Dunlop, and you know, like a lot of different disciplines, but like really getting hands-on with it. And that was something that, you know, was definitely part of our DNA here, but bikes, frames, was something that, you know, we talked about a lot at the beginning, but really tried to kind of keep the blinders on and stay focused on building the brand and really becoming good manufacturers of our primary product first. And you know, if we ever got back to frames, then great. It becomes even deeper for me because, you know, at the time of the origin of Envy, I was working at Reynolds. We didn't have frames. So I, you know, was having, you know, I had a builder there make a bike for me, and my son was born about that same time. And so over the first several years of Envy, I had a few people kind of encourage me to try to build some custom carbon bikes too. And so I built a handful of bikes and branded them with my son's name, Simon. And so there's, you know, kind of, I think 17 of those out there okay. somewhere. There's a couple of them rattling around the building.
Super
exclusive club right there. Yeah. Like Jake Scott got, I think his is around somewhere, but,
yeah.
But that was kind of like, you know, it's just sort of a glimpse into like, okay, you know, maybe we could do this one day. So then it just seemed like the time was becoming right to try to take that on. And so we started working on the design and development of the custom road. And I had lots of ideas for how we could assemble the parts and take advantage of our manufacturing processes that we had. And then built on that and really created some really new manufacturing processes to just take it a step further. Because we knew we couldn't, you know, it was well and good to make a custom-made bike, but to make a, you know, a custom-made bike that could compete aerodynamically with some of the top products out there mm-hmm. was really the goal. Really, kind of like leave no stone unturned and make sure that like customization and fit was part of the aerodynamic story, because I feel like that's kind of a hole.
Yeah.
And you see some of the like World Tour teams trying to navigate that with, you know, 3D printing and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but that's not accessible to a common, you know, to like a real people.
Right.
So like So I really wanted to make something that we could actually manufacture. And I know Jake was really motivated to kind of like just cut through everything straight to the customer, make them the perfect bike, yeah. deliver it to them, you know, and kind of like try to imagine what could be possible.
Mm-hmm. So this is a product for somebody who is meticulous about the fit, the feel, the function of their bike.
I would argue that it's a product for anybody who really loves riding bikes. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great bikes out there. There's a lot of, you know, expensive bikes out there, and people are willing to pay for it because they love what they're doing. They're spending a lot of time, and that's always been part of our story. That's something that we talked about at the very beginning, was that, yes, the price tag is high, but you spend so much time. When you divide it out, it's like it's not expensive. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money
per ride,
but per ride, and the time that you put into it, and yeah. what it means to your life, mm-hmm. it's worth the investment. Mm-hmm. And so the custom road is really a reflection of that, and saying like, you know, you're getting this bike, and we want to build a bike that is capable of doing and tuned to what you want to do with it, and then keep it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's right for you. Yeah. It'll be right for you, you know, several years from now too.
So with that customization, I mean, what I saw was different parts that then mm-hmm. get cut
right
to the specific length based on a rider's geometry,
right,
and then assembled.
Right.
That's a different process than throwing it in a mold and making a monocoque
right.
Bike. Why that difference? Why go with the individual parts, and how does that affect the overall ride quality?
So first and foremost, we wanted to make custom geometry. There's so much of what we've been seeing since the beginnings of the AR line that led us to the AR line was like this evolution of road riding, you know, bigger tires, more diverse road surfaces, just more exploration. And that's something that we've really embraced. That's something that we really love. But there's lots of different interpretations of that. And then, you know, how you fit on the bike too, like seeing people, really high performance riders, you know, lots of spacers, lots of seat posts, you know, lots of offset, you know, just wanting to like cut all that out and say like, okay, we're going to make you this bike. Like you're spending all this money, you're spending all this time. You're clearly, this is a lifestyle for you. So like, let's tailor the bike specifically to you. So we have, you know, five different fork rakes so that we can adjust the, so that we can maintain your front center dimension where the front wheel is relative to you. And then maintain the steering design that we want. Let you choose your stem length and tailor all of that. Mm-hmm. Tailor your seat angle to it so your saddle is just centered on the rails, and everything just looks nice. It's in the right place. And if all of those things come together, you're gonna have a bike that's gonna work mm-hmm. well. So we developed this whole spreadsheet that goes through. We take your fit numbers, we have several interviews with the customer, and we fine tune exactly where you want the hard points.
Yeah.
And then we have this whole algorithm, for lack of a better word, to basically design the bike around those. Say like, here's the best way to fit those points. Mm-hmm. So that it's not you trying to figure out how to yeah. adjust what you purchased to get you in the yeah. position that you want. Let's start with you, and then let's build the bike the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the custom road. And I think that that's an important part of getting the bike right. As we were starting, you know, the custom road, and we're building that, and we're getting this sort of database of like, here's what people are, here's where people are actually fitting, then we can take that and learn from it. And, you know, and that definitely informs what we're able to do for the Melee.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk about the Melee in just a minute and how all of this, you said it before you even hit record, was you can't talk about the Melee without talking about the Custom Road. And we're doing a podcast now about the Melee, but we mostly talk about the Custom Road, which I guess shouldn't be too surprising. But when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the Melee and how that was born from the Custom Road. We'll be right back.
Hello, I've just popped on to say if you're enjoying this Ruler Tech podcast, you can also check out the Ruler Conversations podcast with me, Ian Parkinson, every other week. More importantly, go and subscribe to the magazine for the best in independent cycling journalism, columns from Orla Shenoy and Ned Bolting, brilliant photographs and innovative design. Go to ruler.cc to take out a subscription now. Back to Dan.
We are back with the Ruler Magazine Tech Podcast. I am still your host, Dan Cavallari, and I am still here at NV headquarters in Ogden, Utah, and I'm still chatting in person with a live human being, with Kevin Nelson, the chief engineer here at NV. And we talked a lot about the Custom Road and how that informed a lot of the decision-making for the Melee. Let's talk about the Melee. What is it, and how does it differ from the Custom Road? Why is this an important bike for NV?
So the Melee is kind of a version of the Custom Road that, not a version of the Custom Road, but it's a race-oriented version of the Custom Road. So the Custom Road can be built and configured into kind of an endurance bike to a full-on race bike, but the Melee is basically just the race bike. It still has all the tire clearance. You can still fit a 35 millimeter tire in there with plenty of clearance. You can adapt it quite a bit, but it's tuned toward racing. And so the stiffness is tuned toward racing. The geometry is tuned toward that side. Of everything, and it's basically that interpretation of the Custom Road. And because it's not being custom built in the same way that the Custom Road is, we have a seat post design instead of the seat mast design, which was built around comfort, and we're able to do that because we're having that conversation and building it specifically with the rider. So the Melee, we're trying to take our philosophy from the Custom Road and bring it to this bike that you can purchase and then try and then kind of get your fit out of. And we're hoping that we can do that in a better way than is being done currently. Mm-hmm. The way that we're doing that is we're offering different seat post offsets. We're still taking your fit numbers, and we're telling you, we have another spreadsheet that kind of like will run you through, and you can go on our website and like run through, and it'll tell you, okay, yeah, you should run a zero offset, you should run it in this length, you should have, you know, this stem with this many spacers in order to get your fit numbers. And if you do that, you can build it with this size of bike or this size of bike and tell you exactly how to navigate that. And so you can kind of cut out some of the experimentation you may have to do purchasing a bike, and then sort of that whole like transactional thing too, where you're like, oh, do you have the right size stem? And we're trying to like kind of cut all of that out so that you're getting that finished product quicker and easier.
In one fell swoop.
And trying to get that sort of custom experience with a little bit without having to, you know, kind of funnel through, you know, me and a few other guys.
So you engineer types, you guys like spreadsheets the way I like apple pie.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. So tell me about the data from the Custom Road and how that informed the design, size specific, I guess. You can tell me, right, if it's size specific. How did that data inform the geometry and the overall layup, the build of the Melee?
Yeah, so we took what we knew from the Custom Road, and we've got you know, all of the hard points for all of the people that we have built bikes for on the for the custom road. And we can kind of plot those out and sort of take those and fit them to the melee and say, okay, like, does this seem right, or are we leaving some of these people out? And so that was one of the things that we did. Looking at it, I think primarily we wanted to make sure we had a broad enough size range to where we could accomplish that. And then going back and looking at it and validating it, you know, also knowing that we don't want to have something too complicated, you know, where it's like, yeah, there's 20 sizes, but you know, it's just too much for a dealer to be able to, to stock and for people to be able to process. Mm-hmm. So trying to like simplify all that too. We took our wind tunnel experience with the custom road, and we just continued to evolve that. So by the time we were designing the melee, we were already like, anytime you launch something as an engineer, the hardest part is launching it knowing that you've still got 10 ideas that you're leaving on the table. And being able to, like, I think that's something that, you know, I've been able to learn over the years is like, no, that's actually a good thing. You know, when you're like completely empty the tank, you know, you just have nowhere to go there for a while. And like, you know, ultimately you got to get it out there. Yeah. So like we were able to pretty rapidly take those like 5-10 ideas and say, okay, like let's, you know, evolve it a little bit more and get a little bit more aerodynamic performance out of it and validate that. So the other thing with the melee is we made the custom road has a one piece bar stem system that we build in kind of 5 millimeter increments on the stem, and you know, and all of that. That's not going to be feasible for a bike that's going to be sold on a shop floor. So we made two piece versions of those. So that we could fit everybody, but try to get as much performance as we could out of the two piece system, and so that's a part of that too. But yeah.
So you know, it seems to me like you've got two babies that you have a lot of time and emotion invested in. Are these four different customers? And if they are, who are they? How do you break it down as a consumer and say, well, do I want to get the custom road or do I want to get the melee?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that the custom road is still going to be, you know, they have very different ride characteristics. I mean, the melee is a race bike.
Go fast.
Through and through. Yeah. This is a race bike. It's comfortable, it's responsive, the good handling and everything. The custom road is much more of, it is more comfort. It still feels like a race bike. I think that there are, you know, if you were able to have all of them, you might say, okay, I'm doing, you know, this stage is a crit stage, and so I'm going to be on the melee. This is a, you know, longer, rougher road race stage. I think maybe the custom road. As far as the customer goes, I mean, I think, you know, if you know what you want, and you know that forever, and you want to be able to tailor it specifically to you, the custom road is, that's what it's for.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like having that, you know, that one bike, but you're gonna wanna, like, I don't know, kind of adapt it or change it, or then maybe the melee would be better. But really, I think it's more about the ride. Mm-hmm. The melee is really more tuned toward the race, mm-hmm. and the custom road is more sort of general everything.
Is that a geometry consideration or a layup, carbon layup consideration that makes the Mele more of a race-oriented bike? And how did the, I mean, does the construction change between the Custom Road and the Mele?
Yeah, everything
is completely different.
Yeah, the geometry is tuned toward racing. The stiffness, the laminate development was all tuned toward racing. You know, more stiffness, more of everything, and it's that, you know, monocoque front triangle, which has a certain ride feel compared to a more modular system. There's mm-hmm. kind of a like damping yeah. that happens with that. The you know seat mast versus a seat post, you lose a little bit of that mm-hmm. Compliance and mm-hmm. the sort of like comfort feel.
Yeah, going, you said that like it was a dirty word. Are you okay?
No. It's fine. I mean, it's interesting because you know if you look at there's still questions that I have, like why does that work that mm-hmm. that way, you know? And so that's what that
gotcha,
is.
Gotcha.
It's like still not sure how to answer that with it.
Well, that actually leads me to my next question, which is, you know, Envy has entered this market at an interesting time. I mean, mm-hmm. I think here in the U.S. anyway, the road market has lulled a little bit, a lot, I should say. And people are very fixated on gravel. The high-end road market, the race market in particular, is pretty crowded as it is.
Yeah.
From an engineering standpoint, what were you seeing as an opportunity to do something differently? What did you see that was on the market and say, well, we can do better, and here's how we did it?
Right. I mean, I think it's really always been the same for us, where our products have always been products that were hopefully a little bit more timeless. I mean, that's something that we definitely strive towards, not having these sort of features for the sake of like marketing the features, whether it's not a judgment as to whether they're good or bad or anything. It's just having, you know, things that are going to be there and you're going to appreciate them for years.
Sure.
And I think, you know, some of the bikes get so focused on making, you know, the ultimate in aerodynamics but you know, like it feels kind of weird to drive a Ferrari to, you know, the soccer game or something. You know, it's like, yeah. And then, you know, on the other hand, like, you know, having something that's, you know, more like kind of traditional, maybe doesn't feel like it's up to the task, and so kind of trying to strike that balance mm-hmm. Of performance and subtlety to the point where you're not, you know, it's not gonna feel like a fad.
Yeah, you're not going down the hole of tinkering just to have something different.
It's, right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of where we have always tried to fit, mm-hmm. And just being very like function first.
Let me ask you a question, and I guess this is a very, very subjective question, and I think it would vary depending on who you're talking to. But as an engineer, is there in your mind a virtue to sort of the traditional silhouette of a bicycle? I mean, because the Mele does seem to, and the Custom Road to an extent, they do seem to follow that traditional silhouette with subtle changes to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've, you know, my first race bike was a steel bike with, you know, 1-inch tubes mm-hmm. and you know, down tube shifters and stuff. So
it's very Merckxian.
Yeah, like I still love the old bikes, and mm-hmm. you know, riding wasn't any less fun mm-hmm. back then.
Right.
I don't know if I want down tube friction shifters anymore, but like, you know,
I'm gonna have nightmares if you go there.
Yeah. But they're, I do think that trying to strike a balance that way too, where things don't look, you know, so sort of futuristic, mm-hmm. you know, futuristic concepts can look really great until the sort of cultural design path goes a different direction, and then they just look weird.
Yeah.
and so, like, keeping some tie to the past can kind of, like, keep you on target.
Yeah, it keeps, like, a through line for your designs.
It keeps a through line. Yeah, that's good. And so, yeah, really, our design, you know, philosophy and some of the work that we put into the designs, I mean, so, some of the other guys on the team, I mean, will drive each other crazy trying to, like, you know, just, like, getting fixated on some minor little, you know, little shape. I mean, the connection of the seat stays. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, man, it's easy to get myopic.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, you just look at it and you're like, I don't know why, but it's just not right. Yeah. And, like, you know, and you just kind of keep searching and, you know, you can never look at it in the end and be like,
yeah. Right. I guess the other question I have is from an engineering standpoint. You know, the Melee is a high-end, excellent race bike in a market of high-end, excellent race bikes mm-hmm. that are all state-of-the-art, best engineering out there. And I'm looking out the window past you as I keep doing because I'm captivated by all the carbon around.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is something to think about. This whole facility. Almost this whole facility. There is some aluminum going on, but it's mostly carbon. Mm-hmm. From an engineering standpoint, are you ever looking at what's next from carbon, or is carbon really the perfect material for frames?
Carbon's pretty great material for frames, I think. Mm-hmm. I've gone back and ridden some other stuff, and I like carbon bikes, and, mm-hmm. and certainly looking at Custom Road and the Melee. Pretty similar on some level, mm-hmm. And when you ride them, you can see what's possible from a you know, just adjustment mm-hmm. perspective. I mean, someone I used to talk to, it's, you know, carbon's kind of like playing God with the material. You know, with metals, you know, that kind of is what it is, and there's a lot you can do. With carbon, you can kind of go, you know, multiple levels deeper with it, because you can make changes, like really small changes to the manufacturing process can really make big changes.
Sure.
I mean, some of our ride testing that we do on wheels, you know,
changing
the angle of one fiber and you can feel it on the trail. If you didn't know, would it be significant? I don't know, maybe not, but being able to do that, That's why this place exists, you know?
So, like, in 5 years, this isn't going to be replaced with Dyneema or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? I mean, so to answer your question, though, like, yeah, we are always sort of looking at new materials and new developments. Carbon's pretty cool.
Yeah.
As far as what you can do, again, from the whole holistic, you know, approach, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. some stuff you can do with, you know, just even like the shaping and stuff that would be really hard to do with anything else.
What's your favorite command in Microsoft Excel?
You know, honestly, I'm such a hack in Excel, man. It's just like all these spreadsheets we worked on, I'm just...
Spreadsheets scare me, man. I'm like math. Me and math, we don't get along.
Oh, man.
Kevin, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for inviting me into your home here. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the insight on both the carbon, the custom road, and the Melee. And for those of you listening, if you want to see the Melee, of course, you can go to nv.com and check it out on the website. And if you have questions for Kevin or for anybody here at NV, you're welcome to reach out to me. You can reach me at SlowGuyFastRide on Twitter, at SlowGuy on the FastRide on Instagram. And of course, you can reach out to any of us at Ruler Magazine on all socials. We'll be happy to pester Kevin with your questions or anybody else here at NV. So please do feel free to send them. If you have suggestions for other topics you'd like me to cover here on the Tech Podcast, I am always a fan of when people do my work for me, so feel free to send those to me. Kevin, thanks again. It was wonderful to chat with you.
Thanks.
In person.
Yeah, in person.
In person.
No.
And thanks and for all of you listening. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.